Welcome back to Open House with Mark Sewick and Corey James Moran, brought to you by the Mark Sewick team at Keller Williams, a Greater Rochester real estate podcast. Welcome to episode 5, which I'd like to title, Just Get Started.
Is that what we're titling this?
Yeah, just get started.
All right.
We'll dive into all of that because there's some layers. We're going to peel back the onion a little bit today when it comes to maybe being a first-time home buyer and what that can mean for setting yourself up for really the rest of your life. And I pulled some interesting stats, Mark. The average age of the first-time home buyer continues to increase.
Significantly?
So in the 70s, it was 29. Now we're at 34. So
34 years of age until somebody buys their, on average, before they buy their first house?
First house.
Wow.
Right?
I did not actually know that.
And then the median age is climbing and skyrocketing as well. And, when you think about it, it does make sense, which we'll dive in here to in just a second. But a few housekeeping items to take care of first. Of course, thank you for listening. Make sure you check out the other podcasts that we've done.
Should I at this point in time say thanks, Mom?
Yes, thanks to Mark's mom for boosting up our numbers.
I think she's probably, Mom, she's down in Fort Myers, everybody. She's probably responsible for, maybe 3/4 of our listens.
Can you share what she said? Because it's truly one of the sweetest things that I may have
ever heard. Oh, well, Mom, I know you're listening. So we, both Corey and I, are grateful for the fact that you go about your day and just listen to the podcast while you in the kitchen, wherever it is that you are. And you just, I think she may even have it on repeat or loop.
So, sure, yeah.
So, Mom, thanks.
There
love you.
Very, very sweet. Certainly appreciate the support. You can support as well on liking, sharing on social media, and of course, wherever you may be listening, subscribing. We've gotten some subscribers, which is really nice. So basically how that works is as soon as the podcast goes live, you get a little notification and you can listen to it before anybody else, and obviously brag to all of your friends. So please get up to speed on where we're at before we do dive into our main topic of just get started. First off, the fact that things are opening up, you did something pretty fun yesterday, Mark, which I know the city of Rochester has been waiting for it was, 600 and some days since the last Red Wings baseball game?
I got to say, I had a blast. I mean, last night was so much. So I've been on this 2-week bender.
Yeah.
So over the past 2 weeks, I mean, as more and more people are inoculated or vaccinated, as the temperatures rise, I've been to New York City for dinner to celebrate a friend's birthday. You and I were at a fantastic wedding together.
Of course, yeah.
I've eaten at any number of restaurants. I mean, literally, I am out to dinner now 5 nights a week or some event.
Yeah, and but you're making up for lost time.
And my waistline, burgeoning waistline is proof of, and my liver, could really,
So a little break.
But last night was fantastic. So if you haven't been to a Red Wings game ever, or if you haven't been in a while, you should really go. Last night was fantastic in that the weather was perfect. It was a beautiful night. A number of us, there are about a dozen who had gotten together. Our good friend Mark Cohen and his fiancée Emily, they hosted the suite. But the best part was just the sense of community. And at the very end of the game, they lit up a bunch of fireworks, a great 5-minute. And it was almost celebratory. It was almost as if the Red Wings were saying, you know what, we're putting the past 15 months behind us. We've made it. The only thing missing was Beethoven's 9th, the Ode to Joy. So it was really spectacular. So, and Naomi Silver should be very, very, very proud of the team that she's put together, but the staff members and their willingness to make you feel very, very, very comfortable and very at home.
The GM there, Dan Mason, is
he's great.
Probably one of the best humans I've ever met, actually, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is, some people will say, it's a baseball game. You're really diminishing what that means to the community because it really is something that brings us all together, a literal space to come together, a team to root for, and it is a big part of Rochester. So it was really cool to see that was back.
Actually, and I know that we got to get back to real estate, but we didn't have, now that I think about it, it's sometime in the 3rd week of June, the team, we're buying, 250 tickets or something for previous clients. So we'll be rolling that out right after Memorial Day. But an email will go out to all of our clients, and so our clients will join us for the game, and then we'll have burgers and hot dogs and beverage. And it's always a great opportunity to reconnect with old clients who have become friends, and then introduce them to our team. So it'll be great.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, it's amazing to have that back. And it's another step. And I've been using this analogy when I talk about the past year and a half, where for a long time we were kind of in a dark room, and there was no light in sight. It was just pitch black, and you didn't really know what was going on.
You lost
a little bit, and you lost sense of kind of everything. And then a little crack of light came through, and then that little crack opened a little wider, and a little more light comes through, and that's kind of the path that we've been on. So that was certainly a really big step for our community.
Fantastic.
Let's get back to real estate. Let's get a market update here as far as what you think you've been seeing, your inclination on this. I know you've been on for the past several months here of it's still crazy, certainly. It's going to remain that way for quite some time, but that it is beginning to soften a little bit. I from my side of things, working with so many buyers, I am seeing more properties pop up, which is a great sign.
It is a great sign. However, So the big number this past weekend, I was on the multiple listing service, and I pulled up. I was just curious how many properties are on the market for sale currently in Monroe County. So as we've stated any number of times on the podcast, the number of properties on the market for sale in the 6-county region 5 years ago, somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,500 homes, units. This past weekend, there were 410 homes on the market for sale in Monroe County. Now, and that's not the entire 6-county region, but, you know, the 6-county, Monroe County is, you know, the hub of the majority of the bulk of, 400 and some. And that's the number that I think helps to explain why it is that we find ourselves in the position that we do. It's an insane number. So what are you sensing out there, and what are you experiencing as you're working with the buyers?
So again, how it works out, and we'll actually get to this a little bit later on in the episode, is when I first start working with a buyer, we go through what it is they're looking for. We create their search criteria. And using the multiple listing service, which you mentioned, can actually set up an automatic email that goes out whenever anything is listed that fits their criteria. So at least for my buyers, they've all made the same kind of comment of, hey, I think we're seeing more stuff pop up. And maybe that's wishful thinking, but it does seem to me too, like more things are popping up a little bit. Now, with that said, the competition is still insane. But it's a step again in the right direction. If I'm going to go back to my analogy of the room that we're in, and the light in the crack is getting a little bit wider. So hopefully that continues on, and especially as we get closer to herd immunity, as you've been saying, and as the weather gets nicer. That's just traditionally when more listings start to pop up anyway. So we will see and remain as optimistic as we can on that.
I mean, we're at herd immunity. I mean, we are at 48% of the U.S. population at this point in time, having received at least one vaccine. So that's really great. I mean, we are slowly getting there. And the temperatures, as we said just a moment ago, they are rising. So two of the factors that we've been predicting the past few months that we're going to help to create a better environment for buyers. And indeed, they are starting to come into focus and starting to have a little bit more of an impact in the way that we were hoping.
Absolutely. So let's jump into episode 5, Just Get Started. This is one of those things that is easier said than done, certainly, and especially given what we're up against right now. And to start this off, I wanted to dive in a little bit deeper of something that really you have brought up, I want to say at least once every podcast, in that what we're seeing now, and as we've talked about before, the watermark is rising, right, when it comes to what these homes are going for. It is creating a bigger divide between the haves and the have-nots. And this ties back into Just Get Started, because your first property is going to be your foothold. It's what you base the rest of your life on. And it's becoming
more
difficult. I mean, we were just talking, off the podcast here a little bit ago, and you shared a little bit of your story of the first property that you bought that led to more and more and more.
Thank God. At the age, so I grew up, my dad was a cop in the city of Buffalo. There were 5 of us in a, 1,200 square foot ranch, 1,100 square foot ranch, a small place in Cheektowaga. I bought a 2-family house when I was 26 years of age. And I lived in that 750 square foot apartment, 1-bedroom apartment, for a year or two before I bought a second house. And I stayed in that apartment, and I bought a third and a fourth. So finally, after probably 6-7 years, I finally moved out of that 750-square-foot apartment and moved into a two-bedroom apartment in one of the rentals that I purchased. Thank God that that was the philosophy, because it helped me to create a safer financial environment for myself in the future. And it really did help. At the age of 26, I didn't quite realize the degree to which I was already starting to fund my retirement. And I think that's part of the point that you're making.
Yeah, big time. You know, you want to talk about 401ks as another analogy here. You know, one of my biggest regrets, really, honestly, in life, was that I didn't start putting money towards it earlier. I didn't do that until I was in my early 30s versus... And I kick myself so much. Why didn't I just start when I got my first full-time job when I was 23?
Yeah.
Because even just the littlest amount, it builds. Like how it built for you, with one property leads to another and another and another, and it snowballs, and it can really very quickly accumulate. So that's why it's so important to get started. But again, right now, very difficult. And there's a number of reasons why it's becoming more difficult. And we touched a little bit on it last week as well of... You know, obviously a big thing is the lack of properties that are out there, but a lot of it comes down to as well, the homes that may be starter homes, there's not much as much incentive for builders to build them.
That is something, and I know that I keep saying it, but this is just such an important, I'm actually thinking that I want to sit down with, you know, maybe create a small group of home builders, real estate agents, maybe sit down with our county executive, our mayor,
yeah,
and just say, listen, this is, you know, you need to do something. And if you were to help to subsidize some of these homes here in the city of Rochester, let's take a blighted neighborhood in which you've got abandoned buildings. Let's just bulldoze that or renovate some of these and be very, very careful, because you don't want to gentrify, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's really important that that our community leaders, our government officials, are helping to incentivize builders to create housing for those individuals who are looking to purchase $175,000 or $200,000 property. The builders just have no incentive.
Right.
I mean, they want to build $400,000 homes in Pittsburgh, because you build a $400,000 house and you make no profit there, but you do make the profit on when it is that they say, "Well, I want to upgrade from the cheap carpet to the mink, mm-hmm. and you know, and I want to go from the standard faucet to the gold plated." And that's where the profit is. So.
But yeah, it is. It's such a short-sighted strategy just for society, because obviously it's leading to what we're seeing now. Where I was kind of surprised by this. I mentioned this a bit earlier, but the average age for the first-time home buyers, 34 years old.
That is actually, if you were to have asked, I would have assumed it was 28 years older, mm-hmm. thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got some thoughts as to why I think, but what are you thinking? I mean, or either off the top of your head, or what do the articles say? What are some of the reasons?
Sure, there's a lot that goes into it. A lot of it comes down to that now people are just doing things a little later in life. You know, my wife and I had our son later than, you know, my parents were a bad example, I guess. They had it around the same age. But most parents, you think back in the day,
sure,
popping out kids at 21, right? That was the norm. And
21,
then now,
I think my mom was probably 18 or 19
right,
years
yeah.
old. I mean, she was a kid herself.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I think back to that, I'm like, how?
I couldn't tie my shoes, let alone like raise a child. Like, yeah,
no,
I don't know.
No. So that's a big thing. People are waiting because they want to get established first. And I get that. And it was interesting. You talked last week about how people are a little more conservative with their money and their how they view credit and things like that. And I think it ties back into that mentality of you want to have your base and you want to be set before you take one of these big leaps.
Well, I mean, if you think about not only people getting married later in life, but how, I mean, student debt.
No, that's a big one too.
You mentioned that offline.
Mm-hmm.
How many, and this is a phenomenon that started to play out during the last recession, but how many 27 and 28 year olds are still living in the basement of mom and dad's house?
That too.
So there are a lot of factors and people are really just trying to get their financial house in order before they make this big leap. And the reality is you can't today buy a house unless your financial house is in order. You can't buy a home unless your financial house is in order. This is a relatively new phenomenon also. I mean, you go back 12 years ago and, you know, you had a pulse, you know, in 27 bucks in your pocket, and you were going to find a mortgage broker who was going to be able to give you a mortgage. So, it's incredibly, It's surprising that it's so late in life that people are buying their first home, but my God, do it. You know, and if you can do it even sooner, because it goes back to your point from a moment ago. I mean, thankfully, I bought my first house when I was 26. You started funding your IRA when you were in your early 30s. The sooner you can do this, the better off. And, you know, we're also living longer.
So yeah,
you need to have more money in your pocket. When it is that you retire at the age of 65 or 68 or 70, you're going to have a lot more money in your pocket because you may very well live to be 95 years of age.
Well, that, and how about the fact that for a lot of people with the companies they work with, pensions aren't a thing anymore.
No.
I mean, my parents, they're so lucky. My dad has his pension from IBM and my mom gets her pension from being a teacher and they get their Social Security and they're doing just fine. And I think, yeah, not probably going to have any of that actually by the time that I'm their age.
No, and people just bounce from job to job, corporation to corporation. So, oh, you know, or you read these horrible stories. You know, somebody's been with a particular organization or company for 23 years and they think that two more years and they're going to have right. their pension and then boom, they're fired. I mean, those are terrible stories. So.
Yeah. So obviously you can't jump into the old time machine and go back and start earlier, but you can start today because it's interesting, right? There's kind of a paradox of you want to be financially stable before you make this jump and this massive, one of the biggest purchases of your life is going to be a house, obviously. But think about how much money you're just, and I know that as a landlord, Mark, you're not going to like to hear this, but burning your money with rents.
Believe me. I mean, which is great. I mean, like, I think it's great that people pay me money. But the reality is, for an individual's well-being and for the well-being of the country as a whole, I really think the more people who own property, the better off, the more solid. Let's face it. There's, you know, we don't want to get too much into this. But a lot of the social unrest that we're seeing in this country right now is a result of haves versus yep. have-nots. And the more haves that we have, the less social unrest there will be.
Yeah, it's so true. It really is. It's so interesting how everything ties together.
Yeah, yeah. You spend 10 minutes thinking about it, and you realize that everything is interconnected. We live in a very, very complex world right now.
So let's talk about the current real estate market, because I've heard from a lot of friends, a lot of family members who, you know, again, and as we've talked about it, like, it's really hot, but as a buyer, it's tough right now. You probably hear this a lot too. I'm going to wait it out.
Not a good, you used the phrase earlier and we've been bouncing it around a lot. We are now at a new high watermark. Mm-hmm. We were counseling our clients this past January and February to be very, very, very careful because there was going to be a correction. And increasingly, with the passing of time, it's become very obvious and very apparent that there's not going to be a correction, that this is the new high watermark. And if you're putting off your search or beginning the search, all that you're doing is ensuring that A, you'll be paying the same price 6 months from now that you're paying today, but B, more likely than not, because inflation is just on the horizon. And we're all seeing that, and interest rates are going to go up significantly over the course of the next few months.
Yeah.
So all that you're doing by putting this off is ensuring that that you're paying more per month to the bank in interest.
And there's so many reasons, you know, why this new high watermark is happening, right? A lot of it has to do with the fact that you talked about it last week. How many transactions are going to be finalizing here in the next month or so?
I think it's like 1,400 transactions or something. Yeah.
So what is going to happen there is those become official. Then those who are appraising are going to have an easier time appraising more properties at these higher levels. So it's not going back down.
No, it's a justification. In addition, the mortgages that are being written today, these are mortgages that are based on assessed or appraised values that are 95% of the actual value of the home, or 80% of the appraised value of the home, not 105 or 110%, which is what we were seeing 12, 15 years ago. There are other factors that are playing into this. The fact that people actually have good credit now.
Yeah.
Which is something that wasn't playing out 15 years ago. So all sorts of reasons why it is that this is not a correction, that a correction is not forthcoming. So.
And an even bigger reason to start is, why not? I mean, why not start your search? Why not go through the process of, if you're going to go with a mortgage commitment, getting pre-qualified? But there's no commitment. Just because you do that doesn't mean that we're going to twist your arm and tell you, you have to buy this house. I mean, it's what you want to do. But this is a process. And I think for a lot of the first-time home buyers that I work with, Mark, they might not necessarily understand that it can be quite time-consuming and it could take a while. And not just in the means of finding the house that you like and ultimately prevailing on it, but from even understanding what it is that you want.
Well, you know, there is that organic process, which used to take 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Until you could figure out what it is that, you know, yes, we want, you know, a blue house, you know, and we want 3 bedrooms and we need a finished lower level. Now, in part, I think that you're right. I'm kidding when I say, I think that process is no longer part of the reality, at least from my perspective. So long as a house has 4 walls and a roof, people at this point in time are like, great, sign me
right.
up. So let me write an offer, because there's just so little of what it is that people, you know, truly and genuinely want. And I think they're buying more structures right now that they're going to make their dream home
right.
instead of looking for and then finding their dream home. But you're right. This is a time-consuming process. I'm always shocked, and one of the reasons that members of the team, you or Mark Crandall, Josh Bartolotta, Aaron Duffy, one of the reasons that you do the job that you do is because it is so time consuming. I mean, my ADD is such that after, and I'm really yeah. serious, my ADD is such that after 3 or 4 weeks, you know, like I lose that focus. But, you know, I'll talk to Josh or somebody and I'll say, congratulations on the latest sale. Who bought that? And he will say, well, Mark, that's a lead that you gave to me 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the amount of time that this can sometimes take.
It can. And you want to give yourself that time too.
Yes.
The last thing you want is, look, there's enough pressure and stress that can come with the process. You don't want to have the added pressure of, I need it by next month, which again, we know isn't going to happen. I've got a number of buyers that I'm working with right now who are really pushing to be settled in by September for when school starts. And you know, I'm pushing them. We need to get going on it.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to write an offer by July 1st, which gives you 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 weeks, basically. Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Right.
We'll be celebrating Independence Day in 5-6 weeks. That's incredible.
It's right around
And summer point. Just arrived.
Yeah, I know. Well, we did have spring for about 0.5 seconds.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly.
Writing a new one. So it's really important to stress that. So my biggest advice to you would be to just get going on it. Work with an agent. Certainly, we would love for you to work with us. I'd love for you to work with me. But start the process. Figure out what it is that you're looking for. You know, if you work with me, again, one of the things I'll do is set up that search for you. Even just getting an idea of what's out there, what's in your range, and getting an idea of what you're really, truly looking for. Getting ahead on that. No one's saying you need to make that purchase immediately. It can take time. It's okay. But give yourself that time. And we'll be patient, I promise. That's kind of a key characteristic that, you know, as an agent that we need to have, as, you know, on the buyer side, especially, that I need to have. And it's totally okay.
Absolutely. And if it's with us, that's great. If it's with another agent, that's perfectly fine. I mean, we're here to educate people. We want to make sure that people are doing the right thing. But there was a point in time when you could do this without using a buyer's agent.
Yeah.
You could go in and, you know, you would do okay. You would probably make a mistake or two, but nothing. Now it is really, and again, whether it's us or another team, another real estate agent, buyers just aren't able to actually prevail, because when you're up against 16 other offers,
yeah.
and the margins that exist between those who are prevailing and those who are failing, those margins are so thin. You've got to have an agent, because as a layperson, you're just not going to understand the subtlety and the nuance that is. The reason for one offer to prevail and another just to come crashing to the ground.
Absolutely. So again, if you'd like to work with us, you can certainly reach out. The website's always a good place to start. MarkSiwick.com, MarkSiwiec.com. I'm getting really good at that.
You are. That was impressive. And did you see the new the addition that we made to the website this past week?
Is there a podcast feature there?
There is now a tab
I've heard.
The company that they've got a section for news, and then under news there's the blogs.
Yep.
And then our podcast.
Perfect. So
yeah.
Tons of info, all our contact info. You can reach out to me directly at 607-341-1230. Again, the website's a great place to go if you just want to check out some of the listings that we have. And again, more coming down the pipeline. Some really exciting stuff.
Yeah, we've got four new listings that we're putting on the market for sale today. Just a great house for $175,000. Actually,
there you go.
And that property Is in the North Winton Village.
Okay. I hear it's kind of hot there right now.
Yeah, did you see? There was an article in Inman, I believe it was, or one of the real estate news sources. That neighborhood, which is off of Winton Road, just south of Irondequoit, has been targeted or named as one of the top 10 neighborhoods in the entire country for real estate investment right now.
Wow.
It's one of the hottest neighborhoods. Yeah. So we've got one for $175,000. And then we've got a gorgeous property on Trevor for $600,000 and two others in between. So a lot of great stuff. Go there, check it out. There's some really, really interesting and some beautiful photos. And those 3D tours are always great.
Absolutely. So again, marksebuck.com for that. All right, coming up next episode, I've been hearing this a lot, too, of, well, if I'm going to pay so much for buying, I should just build.
Or rent.
Yeah. Well, I've got some news for you. You're going to be paying no matter what you do.
Yeah, man. You're paying through the nose no matter what.
Yeah. So we'll break that down next week on Open House with Mark Sewick and Corey James Moray.
Hey, thanks so much, Corey.
Thank you.